I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, the peace of the Lord be with you. My name's Jonathan. I'm one of the pastors here at Seeds. Pleasure to speak this morning. What a great rain was earlier. Wasn't that awesome? Don't you like good rains? Yeah. Summer will soon be here and we'll be complaining about the heat, so enjoy it while you got it, I reckon. Quite a few years ago actually, we as a family rented a house. Actually, the house belonged to Neil Michael. People know Neil Michael, former minister of this church. And in the backyard of that house, there were two particular fruit trees. One was an apricot, which every year I would think, oh, there's not going to be many apricots on it. Oh. And then it would surprise me, and I'd have to prop up the branches, and there'd be apricots everywhere, flooded the backyard with apricots. And there was another fruit tree, which was a peach, and it had cannonball-sized peaches on it. They were just delicious, delightful. Do people have fruit trees in their backyard? People have veggie gardens in their backyard? Yeah, okay. So what's the benefit of having these things in your backyard? Yummy? Yep. Fresh? Yummy and fresh. Anything else? Exercise. Good. Organic? Great. Lots of compost. Yep. Homegrown? You know what you're getting. Fruit is the great benefit, isn't it? I mean, you get to eat what you produce, and even though they look a bit ugly sometimes, don't they? I mean, sometimes the tomatoes don't look quite as they're meant to look. But taste, isn't that right? Isn't the taste the best? You with me? Yeah. Come on, taste is the best. I mean, you can buy tomatoes that have come from Queensland in a hothouse somewhere, and good luck trying to cut them. Or you get the ones from your backyard which look like they've come from your backyard, but wow, the difference that it makes is extraordinary, isn't it? I've got some jokes for you. Where's Peter? Peter's not here. Peter's asking me if he's going to have any jokes, and I said, yes, I'm going to. These are especially for Peter. So if they're not good, then blame Peter. How do you make a strawberry shake? Put it in the freezer. Do I need to publish these, do I? So you get them, you can have a time to think about them. What is a vampire's favourite fruit? A nectarine. Of course it is, isn't it? How do you fix a broken tomato? With tomato paste. Okay. What school subject is the fruitiest? History. It's full of dates. What kind of apple has short temper? A crab apple. Okay. What happens to grapes when you step on them? They whine. Of course they do, don't they? Okay. How do you fix a cracked pumpkin with a pumpkin patch? Why did the banana go to the doctor? Because he wasn't peeling well. I got one more. Do we need to have a vote on this, whether I do it or not? Okay, one more. Why was the tomato blushing? Because he saw the salad dressing. Awesome. There you go. If you ever stuck for a joke, don't use that one. Well, last week, if you were here, we had lots of pots with potting mix out the front, symbolizing the result of our It's Time building campaign. Do you remember that? And I used compost, and I shook all your hands with compost all over my hands. And remember that the pledges, gifts and pledges amounted to $466,000. I'm pleased to announce this morning that that has grown somewhat over the week. So a new total as of Friday, $483,899. I am humbled to be part of a church that generates in such a short amount of time nearly $500,000. So well done. So thank you to those who have pledged. We give glory and honour to Jesus, don't we, who has done this work amongst us. And we look forward to seeing the results of that work. I want to say one thing, and that is that I do not know who has given what. So I want to make that really publicly clear. There is only one person who knows what people have given, and that person's not telling, let me tell you. So myself, the staff, and the church council, the elders, do not know what people have given. That's between you and the Lord for you to honour that pledge. So last week we had the same pots to represent key things that you must plant in your lives to grow and to grow well. If you want to be more mature than what you are, if you want to be different than what you are in the few years' time, then what is the culture you need to put inside your life? And I suggest to you that it is your life's work to keep planting good things into your soul so that you can develop and become the person God wants you to be. The end result of that, what Jesus wants to see you look like, is Himself. He wants to see you look like Jesus. You're meant to grow up and emulate His characteristics in your life. Now, that's not a new thing. Very early on in the Scriptures, Genesis 1 verse 26, when God created the world and all the bits and all around it, He says, let us make humanity in our own image. And He's continuing that work in you. Marred by sin, yes, but redeemed and restoring, absolutely. And that's what God wants to do in your life. And so, this morning, what I want to talk to you about is as we develop, as we change, as we grow to be more like Jesus, as our attitudes change and characteristics change and personal habits change, as we grow, we then automatically produce fruit. And so I want to talk to you this morning about fruit and what a spiritual fruit looks like in your life. And I want to talk about some of those characteristics, yes, that are characteristics of Jesus, like the fruit of the Spirit. And there's a whole pile of fruit mentioned in the Bible. There's all sorts of different fruits that are throughout the New Testament. And there's a few here: fruit of repentance, fruit of eternal life, fruit of righteousness, fruit of goodness, fruit of truth. But I just want to hone in just on those. But the substance of what that fruit is, it'll come clear in a moment. So I want to get a framework for us to help us to live fruitful lives, to give us an aiming point, and to grow out of the good soil that we're working to with in partnership with Jesus to create inside of us. And I want to do it by using the example of an apple, and I want to take probably the jolly smallest apple you could ever find in the history of humanity, which was left over from Kid Venture this week. So we are recycling lots of different things. And I want to show you what I think is the constitution of an apple in three parts and equate that to our spiritual life in three parts. So bear with me and see how we go. The first, of course, is the peel of an apple, or the skin, or the outer layer of whatever fruit we want to talk about. And, you know, God's glad wrap, however you like to describe it, the stuff around the outside that protects the substance on the inside. Now some fruits have very attractive outside wrappings. I don't know about you, I'm really tempted to chew on this, but then I won't be able to speak, so I can't. It cries out to me and says, eat me. Does it say that to you too? Does fruit do that? Am I a lone wacko? No, you, like, I mean, mangoes. Yeah. I mean, all those who are not from Queensland, yeah. How good. I mean, mangoes say, eat me in the bath. You know? Don't you think? Like, I mean, bananas. Don't bananas say to you, like, eat me? Like, other fruits don't? Like, strawberries and cherries call out, eat me all the time. I mean, yeah. I mean, there's nothing like a good crunchy apple, though, I've got to say. And so, fruit is also attractive to animals, if you hadn't noticed. If you've got a fruit tree in your backyard, you might have seen a few rainbow lorikeets coming and trying to help you consume those fruits. The skin, the outer wrapping of whatever fruit it is actually meant to be, for most of them, of course there's some other ones that are, you know, coconuts and different things, but most generally is meant to be attractive in order to cause you to say, I want this. And to animals too, says, hello there, little bird, come and eat me quickly before the owner of the house can come and eat them. And so the fruit, the skin's main task is to protect, yes, but also to make it attractive so it's desirable, so that you want to fill yourself with it. Spiritual fruit, then, is actually really similar. And it stands in contrast to all other things that make us a tree or a vine, and it's designed for us to stand out, to be spiritually attractive. Spiritual fruit should be attractive. And it should make people, when they see it, when they see the fruit of what Jesus is doing in your life, when they see that, they should go, I like that. I see that. And actually, that is really attractive. Where did you get that from? Where can I get that from? That's what it's designed to do. Now, it might be that you're not producing fruit in your life. And so you need to ask some questions. And you need to reflect on that passage we had with John 15 about being connected to the vine. I'll talk about that in a moment. But it might be that the fruit that you're producing is sour or emitting a bad odor, or it's actually rotten. Now, I'll come to it in a minute, but you can still have bruising on fruit and the flesh will still be okay. So that's all right. But there's a difference between sour and rotten and bruising. So when you grow fruit in your life and all other people around you should not only be noticing it but desiring what you have and wanting it in their own lives because it's good. You start to grow some of these characteristics of Jesus inside of you and it starts to bubble up to the surface in your workplace and people go, yeah, actually that's different than what everybody else is acting. I want that. And I want to be like that. And if people aren't noticing the fruit in your life, then we've got some soul searching to do. We want to be asking, what's going on with me that I'm not producing a fruit that lasts? Jesus speaks right into this in Matthew 5 when he says, verse 14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, I know that's not talking about fruit, but it's talking about what happens when the Spirit comes in your life and helps you to emulate the way of Jesus. When you pick up His patterns in your life, people notice it. And it stands out like light on a hill, like salt in an unflavored dish. My friends, we're actually meant to be good looking. You are. Your fruit is meant to be so that other people are attracted towards it. The result of the Spirit's work in you, forming you in the shape of Jesus, is meant to make you attractive in here. That's where it counts the most. As I encourage you, don't easily dismiss how important it is to be attractive in a godly sense. part two. The second part of the fruit, of course, we all know what the second part of an apple is, and it's the flesh, isn't it? I mean, this apple just says, eat me, doesn't it, Bailey? Do you want to have this bit here? See, there you go. It says, good. Is it good? I reckon little apples are the best, aren't they? Little small ones often taste the sweetest. That's a trick if you didn't know that. The bit we eat, the flesh, the bit that's protected by the peel of the skin, it's the bit that we all like. It's the bit that most of us crave after. I mean, except for pineapples. Do you like pineapples? Well, no way. Who wants to eat pineapples? Give me bananas, I'll eat as many of them as you want, but not pineapples. But the flesh is the good bit for all the fruits, isn't it? I mean, once the skin attracts us, then we know what's underneath it is the actual flesh, and we want it. We want to chew down on it. We want to enjoy it. It's the crunch of an apple, the soft, sweet juice of an orange, the pulp of a passion fruit, the savory taste of a tomato. I mean, it's good, isn't it? Are you feeling hungry? Yeah, are we all going to go to the grocery store and get some fruit on the way home? The flesh is the substance of the fruit. It shows us there's more to the fruit than just the skin. I mean, who's bit into an apple and it's been rotten? Everybody's done that. Who's opened a passion fruit and there's nothing inside it? How disappointing is that? I used to have a passion fruit tree at my place. I used to undo them and take them to school and then cut them open and there'd be nothing in them. It's like, man, I've got to wait till tea time to get some more food. It's not fair. The fruit that we grow in our lives must have some spiritual substance to it. It's no good being attractive, being all promise with no deliverance. We've got to have some substance to us. We know the disappointment of not having anything to deliver our expectations or finding a whole section rotten or sour. Fruit grows from our relationship with Jesus. The substance of the fruit, the flesh of the fruit, shows the depth of the relationship that we have with Jesus. So let me alert you to a big point. If you want to grow good fruit in your life, if you want your life to be more than just about you, if you want to honor Jesus, if you want it to be meaning and purpose in your life, then work on the relationship that you have with Jesus. It is as simple as that. Growing fruit comes from that relational connection that we have with Jesus. So I say to you, spend time on it, prioritize it. If you want to be more than what you are today, then you need to do something about it. And I talked to you last week about, you know, what were you doing in the last 10 years when we celebrated the teenager's 10th birthday? What was going on in your life? Are you different now than then? Are you better now than then? If you want to be better in the next 10 years, then you have to do something about it. Connect yourself with Jesus more and more. And when the going gets tough, when you don't know what to do, lean into Him. Imbibe more of Him. And here's the bit where the rubber hits the road. Talking about Jesus and living like Jesus have to be the same. Talking about Jesus and living like Jesus have to be the same. It's no good knowing all about Jesus, about God, about the Holy Spirit, and not having that translate into your daily life. The scriptures are written in the context of people's lives for instruction, in order that you can grab hold of them and use them every single day. When we know about Jesus and we don't act like Jesus, we don't know Jesus at all. It's as clear as that. So here's a way to make this happen. Unless you can discern otherwise, assume the teachings of the Bible apply to you and your daily life. Did you get that? Unless you can discern otherwise, assume the teachings of the Bible apply to you and your daily life. And so, take them at face value. And so when it says, don't lie, that's what it means. When it says, don't look at a woman lustfully, that's what it says. That's what it means. When it says, control your anger, that's what it means. So we guard our eyes. We guard our thoughts. We guard our hearts. We push back on the anger that wants to rise up inside of us. And we say, no, we know Jesus, the Prince of Peace. I'm going to respond in that way, not out of anger and malice. And I'm going to, in a few weeks' time, I'm going to talk right into this whole particular area. But when we do that, when we live out our understanding of faith, our spiritual fruit then has more than just shadows in it. It's not hollow. It has substance in the flesh. And when people see it, and when the skin gets torn, when times are tough and our true colors are shown, people go, yeah, I can see. I can see more in you than what I've seen in others. I can see the truth of what you've been talking about enacted in your daily life. In Aussie slang, this means that our faith has some guts to it, some gumption. It holds on to something strong. Let me give you another example. 1 Corinthians 13, the fruit of love is extolled as the highest of all virtues. Okay, you've heard 1 Corinthians 13 a zillion times, I'm sure. But have a listen in this context to how a person who lives in Jesus responds to a variety of things that plague us today. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Can you see the substance? Can you see the flesh in that fruit? I mean, imagine if we responded like that. Imagine the difference we would make by being patient, by being kind, by not envying, by not boasting, by not being proud, not dishonoring, not keeping record of wrongs. Whew. Should stop now because that one hurts a bit much, doesn't it? Does your fruit have substance to it? Does your life show it? You see, as followers of Jesus, our mission is to live below the surface. And so the prophet Samuel comes before Jesse and all his sons looking for the new king of Israel. And he looks at the big first son and he says, oh man, this huge bloke, he must surely be the next king of Israel. And God says, no. You look on the outside and I'm looking on the heart. There's the substance of the fruit. And we get the heart of the king that he chose, King David, with all his bruising and damaged stuff on the outside of the flesh. We get all these beautiful psalms, this worship added to our vernacular, showing us the substance of his fruit. And so when we peel back the layers, we see the truth of what we're producing, one of the work that Jesus is doing in our life and the result of the truth. If I want to labor the point, I'd push you towards the John 15 passage. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you want to bear fruit, fruit that lasts, fruit that's just not a shell on the outside, fruit that has substance to it, remain in Jesus. Find his characteristics, imbibe them in your life. Make them a pattern. Third part. The third part of the fruit, of course, as you would well know, is the core. And if I cut it this way, you'll see the little star. See the core? What's in the core? Seeds, of course. Well, not sort of this seeds, but those seeds, aren't they? Some fruit, it's the seed in this apple, of course, it's the core. That's what's the point of the core? It holds the seeds. It holds it there so that what? So the fruit can reproduce. And here's where God got really clever in this sort of stuff. So he makes this attractive skin on the outside. So you go, oh, I want that. And he makes this nice flesh on the inside. So you bite into it. So the animals come along and go, oh, I see it, looks good. I'll bite into it, it is good. They ingest the seeds. And what do? Then they walk, skip, jump, fly, crawl, slither somewhere else. And voila, a little investment package planted somewhere else with some liquid fertilizer ready to grow and to go and to do something. How smart was God? This reproduction of the fruit. My friends, here's the point. You've worked this out, a really simple point. Our fruit is also meant to reproduce as well, and reproduce in places that we don't yet know about or we don't understand yet. It's meant to be long-lasting and continue on. I've told you before that I'm really enjoy time up in the Victorian High Country. And if you go up there, if you go off trail, and I think I've said this before to you, if you go off trail, you can be kilometres away from the nearest track, right off bush, and you can run into a gully that is choked with blackberries. Woe betide you if you try to get through that gully with blackberries without a whippersnapper, let me tell you. How did they get there? Some bird, sometime, said, oh, I like that fruit, looks nice. Ate the fruit, flew away to this remote part of our pristine native environment and dropped the seed there. And it's grown. That's what's meant to happen with us, with our fruit. It's meant to be transferable. It's meant to be reproducible. And at the core of who we are as followers of Jesus, the DNA is there for us to reproduce. And that's what we're meant to do. And when we don't do that, we fail in the full potential of the fruit that Jesus is growing in us. We hope a little bit later in this year to have a guy we had earlier this year come and help us understand how to share faith simply. And just as we go towards road to Christmas, I want to speak to about sharing faith. How can we do it in a way that's easy, that's natural, that's open and able for all of us to be able to do it? But let me cap off by saying this. When we live lives as eye-catching for Jesus, when we live lives full of ingredients that show that we are submitting to the will of Jesus, that His virtues or characteristics are rising up in us, and when we do it in helping others, we're able to help people see the real Jesus as embodied in our lives. And the fruit that we show helps others to have a whole new reality on life and deal with a whole pile of problems that they thought they were all alone with. You see, these things add up to make fruit fulfill its full purpose, spiritual and, of course, physical. Our fruit should be attractive. It should be. Our fruit should have substance to it. And, of course, our fruit should be reproducing. Let me finish with the words of Jesus, John 15. He says this, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Amen.